When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'"
Thank you, Claire, for reading. And for those of you who don't know me, my name's Gareth Peoples. I work at UBS nearby, and I've been coming to these talks for around 5 years now. I'd love to welcome you to the Moorgate Talks. If you're new, if it's your first time with us, I'd love to welcome you. So I'd like us to start by thinking about a question this lunchtime. The question is, what is the best invitation you've ever turned down? What's the best invitation that you've ever turned down? For me, most recently, I turned down a barbecue with close friends in the height of summer. Imagine a day completely opposite to the one we've had this morning, and that was what I turned down. But what's yours? What's yours, I wonder? You see, last week we started thinking about an invitation. The invitation of a lifetime. In the recent election, Jeremy Corbyn's slogan for the Labour Party was, "For the many, not the few." But in these last few chapters, we've seen that the people who will be with Jesus will be few. In chapter 13, Jesus exhorted people to enter the narrow gate and warned that not many would be able. We also heard last week that the few who enter, they won't be the few that we expect. At the start of chapter 14, Charles last week, he showed us that Jesus healed a man with dropsy and says that he is his, leaving the Pharisees speechless. And the surprises, they keep coming this lunchtime. They don't stop. The focus this week isn't so much on who will be invited or on how many, but on what we do with this invitation of a lifetime that we've been given. We'll see this in the 3 points on the outline. Firstly, we'll see a banquet is prepared. The banquet is prepared, our first point this lunchtime. We see one of the people who was at the table, he was delighted at what Jesus was saying about the wedding feast. Luke points out that this guy reclined at table. Although this phrase, it does refer to the fact that, yes, this guy was sitting physically at the same table with Jesus, but he also uses this phrase to describe the people who recline at his table with him on the last day. When he tells his disciples to be ready for their master in Luke chapter 12, he says, "The master will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve those who are awake and ready for him." In chapter 13, when Jesus tells them that there is a narrow door, he tells his hearers that they will be cast out and people will come from east and west and north and south and recline at the table in the kingdom of God. Luke is saying, yes, this man is at a physical table with Jesus, but I'm going to tell you something about the eternal table that you want to be at. The humble will be those who are exalted, and the poor, the crippled, and the lame, and the blind, they should be included at the table of the privileged. It's a wonderful picture, both to them in their world and in the divided world that we live in, isn't it? But it isn't the full story. This man's understanding, it isn't quite right. Look down at verse 14 with me. You see that Jesus, he isn't done. We see the word "but." Jesus, he's got a big clarification to make. And he wants us to listen. He gives us another parable. Look down at verses 16 and 17 with me. But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' The guest list is sorted. The table, it's decked out with all the best glassware and crockery. The champagne, well, it's ready to be popped. And the red carpet has been rolled out. No corner has been left unturned. The banquet is prepared. And what could possibly go wrong? Well, more than you think, actually. Well, the guests, they mightn't show up for starters. And that is exactly what we see here. We see that excuses are made. Excuses are made. Our second point this lunchtime. We see three main excuses that are given for us in the passage. We have a couple of people that we need to see. We have the property mogul who's bought a field that he's just got to go and see. We have the ambitious farmer who just has to check on the cattle he's just brought home from the mart. And then the preoccupied groom, well, he just can't spend a moment away from his new wife. All these people, they decide that something else is more important than the banquet. They've chosen their priority. They've chosen their number one thing that they are looking for. In theory, all three of these groups of people, they could have well come. You see, the field and the oxen, well, they could have been seen later. The groom's wife, well, she could see him later. She could just wait a while longer. But let's be honest. It's easy to look at a passage like this, but we all do this, don't we? I understand that Jesus, he's important, but I need to make progress in my career. I don't have time for it now. Can't I just follow Jesus later? Look, I really understand that Jesus is important. But it's okay to have some fun with life first, right? This Jesus stuff, it just gets in the way of that. There's lots and lots and lots of variations on this. But let's be honest. My heart wanders into this thinking all the time. And so does yours. I'm a millennial, and there's been lots and lots of talk about us in the media recently. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's the generation of people who were born between the 1980s and the early 2000s at the latest. I was born just a few months before the fall of the Berlin Wall, the final years of both the Cold War and the reigns of Thatcher, Reagan, and Gorbachev. So I fit firmly into this category. And my generation, judging on what you're hearing in the media, is characterised as being non-committal in pretty much every area, from employment to relationships. And I want to say something that's quite controversial this lunchtime. Being non-committal is not good, particularly when it comes to this offer of a lifetime. It's not good. And that's exactly why we need to listen up to what Jesus has to say next. So here it is. Excuses have consequences. Excuses have consequences, our third point on the outline. Look down at verse 21 with me. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry. The first consequence is that the master is angry. The master of this house is Jesus, who is making this invitation to us this lunchtime. And this banquet, it's pointing forward to a new creation. This is eternal life. When Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead, and to bring those who have eagerly awaited him and his coming to a place where there will be no death, no pain, and no suffering anymore. A place where we won't sin anymore, and a place where we will be in perfect relationship with God and with one another. This is a hugely generous offer, which we do not deserve. If we keep on saying no to God, and if we keep on ignoring him, or putting him and this invitation off, he has every right to be angry with us. Of course, the second consequence is that those who keep saying no to Jesus, they will miss out. Look down at verse 24 with me. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Jesus is explicit that those who keep putting him off and those who keep saying no to Jesus, well, they will miss out. None of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Is this really what you want? There's also another side to this consequence as well. If we miss out, others will benefit. Look down from verse 21 again. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room." And the master said to his servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled." Over the past decade or so, there's been like an increasing number of pronouncements about the death of Christianity in the British media, as if Christianity was somehow similar to the impending extinction of the albatross. But Jesus, he is very clear. Jesus will fill his house. He will gather a people for himself. It even meant being nailed to a cross of wood. Are you sure this isn't something you want to be a part of? Life in the face of death, hope in the place of fear, mercy in the place of judgment. This really is an invitation of a lifetime. To sum up, a banquet has been prepared. Jesus has pulled out all the stops, an invitation of a lifetime. Well, it is on offer. The invitation of a lifetime has been offered to you, specifically this lunchtime. Will you accept it? Excuses have been made. It is easy to put Jesus off or to ignore what he says. But excuses, they do have consequences. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this lunchtime, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? Jesus, he has made you the offer of a lifetime. He even went to the cross and rose again on the third day to prove it. The invitation, it's here to be accepted. And there's a number of ways that you can take things further if you want to. Look into Christianity further this lunchtime. There's a Christianity Explore course run by these talks. Or as you saw on your sheet on the front, there's a one-to-one guided read-through of a gospel, if that works better for you. If you want any more information, you can come speak to me or Claire or Alfie afterwards. But if you are Christian this lunchtime, if you have accepted this offer for a lifetime, how are we still saying no to Jesus? Are we living for him as fully as we can? Are we holding things back or ignoring what he says on a particular issue in our lives? Do we really believe that Jesus is more important than anything or anyone else? And are we willing to change where what he has to say is difficult for us? You see, this isn't just a nice story in Luke for us. It is the invitation of a lifetime. Believe me, you really don't want to miss out. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you for this invitation of a lifetime. Please help us to see that we really don't want to miss this. Please help us to believe this more and more fully in a world of competing priorities, vying for our attention. In Jesus' name, amen.